back to Shattering Myths, as it is my great pleasure every Friday in the second hour of this program to welcome the foremost spokesperson on the religion of Islam in the world today. His name is IQ Al-Rasuli. He is the author of a series of books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. He is the brightest man that I know on this subject and also the most courageous. And IQ, I come to you with a heavy heart today because of the stupidity of my government and the idiocy of my media as they have attempted to report on what took place in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm certain that you're aware of the event.
Yes, and I am as livid as you are, white, in fact, white hot.
Yes. You know, it is yet another Muslim following Muhammad's example, with no reason to live, no reason to celebrate life, no reason to be productive, but being destructive, being murderous. And yet, the media wants to, and the FBI even said, it was premature to speculate on the motives of the shooter. What in the hell is wrong with us? How can we be that stupid?
Well, that's why you can't beat Islam. That's why America and West have been losing again and again and again when confronting Islam. When people are not willing to face facts and reality, when one is not calling a spade, you lost the game.
Yeah. When you're not willing to face facts and reality, that's the terms that I use, and I use them probably to a worrisome degree. But if you are not willing to investigate the evidence and then be reasonable about and rational about what you find, if in fact you choose to be ignorant and irrational, then there is nothing anyone can do for you. You're a lost soul. You're squandering your life. And you're squandering any opportunity for a decent life, even for your children.
And for the American public. Mm-hmm. They are deceiving the American public. I heard that a gentleman called William Killian is a Department of Justice official leading the Chattanooga jihad shooting. Mm-hmm. He is the same person who vowed to criminalize criticism of Islam. Wow. How is he going to be impartial? I want to know.
Oh. Yes, while it would be premature to speculate on the motives of the shooter at this time, a thorough investigation of the tragedy will provide updates when they are available, an FBI official told Fox News hours after the deadly attack.
True. But what did Obama say? Don't jump to conclusions.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to form a conclusion because a conclusion is the basis of rational thinking. You know, with a conclusion, that's you examine the evidence, and based upon that evidence, you logically process it to form a conclusion. Conclusions are different than opinions.
Correct. Let me explain to the American public why this man did it that day, yesterday. It was before the end of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. And those who die during Ramadan, murdering infidels, kuffar, that is non-Muslims, they have a greater reward in Muhammad's whorehouse version of paradise than if they died any other time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. There's nothing there to add or subtract.
Human
being listening to come and debate me and prove me wrong. Can't be done.
No, it can't be done. But the bottom line here is that while that is what Muhammad said, that's what is ascribed to Allah, that someone who dies killing infidels during Ramadan gets a special bonus. The fact of the matter is, Muhammad lied. The Quran is untrue. Allah is not God. Heaven is not a brothel. There are not 72 virgins waiting there for killers.
You know that, and I know that, and any rational human being would know that. But we're not discussing rational human beings.
Correct.
I have always said, you cannot find, out of 1,500 million followers of Muhammad, a single one of them with two brain cells of logic when it comes to their belief system.
Right. They're just not. And by the way, it does not matter what the belief system is. We were comparing and contrasting in the first hour Muhammad and Paul. Both men came up with the exact same scheme. Both men said that they were inspired to be God's messenger, and both men said that they were speaking on behalf of and confirming the testimony of the God of the Torah. And then both men contradicted everything that the Torah actually says. And so if you are informed and rational, you're going to reject both men.
Correct. But how many people are informed and rational? This is exactly why the West is failing. This is exactly why Americans are. I were an American citizen today, I would like to start a movement to indict Obama, because as the traitor Muslim in chief,
right,
he should be removed from office. These men should not have died on American soil while they are not armed. They should have been armed.
Yeah, well, we would probably disagree there. I think America needs less arms in the sense of arms for military and less arms for police. Citizens should be more armed, and federal and state and community armed forces and agencies and police ought to be less armed, in my view. But the reality here is that America's leaders are doing everything in their power to justify Islam, to empower Islam, to arm Islam, and to excuse Islam. And therefore, Islam is destroying us.
Correct. But why are they doing it? I mean, they are destroying the future of their own children. Why would anybody who has two brain cells of logic and a rational human being make it impossible for their children to have a good life? I want to know.
I think it boils down to the thing we have talked about so many times in the past, IQ. In a religious country, like any one of the Islamic countries, evidence and reason have no merit. Lies are far more popular than is the truth, and no one is rational, because to think about, to exercise good judgment regarding what's written in the Quran would cause any rational and informed individual to reject Islam. But religious individuals are naturally prone to avoid at all cost evidence and reason. That's just the nature, has always been the nature of religion. So now, how does that apply to a country like America, where now the majority of Americans do not consider themselves religious? I think they are religious, but not in the normal sense, not in the sense of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, that sort of thing. They've been indoctrinated in a new religion. It's the religion of man. It's socialist, secular humanism, and it has a moral code, and the moral code is called political correctness. The principal purpose of political correctness lies at the heart of the answer to your question. Why do people do things that are counter to their own interest and the interest of their children when promoting such things that are counter to the interest of themselves and their children? Is irrational, illogical, immoral, and dishonest. And the answer is political correctness. It indoctrinates people so that they will not, under any circumstances, be judgmental. They will not exercise good judgment. Can't be civil, can't be rational, can't be just. Can't even be intelligent.
Well, the proof of the pudding is happening as we speak.
Yes.
I mean, it's beyond. Your explanation is excellent, but it's still difficult to believe. It is still difficult to believe that you have people in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
We have the elected people who are supposed to protect the American people are treacherous.
Yes.
To the last one, literally to the last one.
Yeah, it is. It it's hard to believe. And this is the argument that we had on the first hour of the show 2 days ago. It's hard for people to grasp how pervasive deception has become. You know, that the majority of people are deceived, and the majority of leaders are deceivers. It's very difficult for people to fathom that. They just, you know, it's beyond their comprehension that they are being misled on a wholesale basis.
Yeah, but again, yeah,
yes.
There are 310 million Americans.
Right.
How is it possible the majority of them are so stupid? How?
Well, it's not...
310 million people with the latest technologies whereby you can access information in an instant of time with over 15 to 20 billion pages of information on Google.
I went
How is it possible they're brainwashed?
I went to a Best Buy the other day, and they have all those tablets and smartphones out on display. And all the tablets and smartphones now have voice command interactivity. And so you can either tap in or speak in something. So I spoke in and tapped in Prophet of Doom and also Yada Yahweh. And both books came up immediately. You want to know who God is? Go to YadaYah.com. You want to know who Muhammad is? Go to prophetofdoom.net. Everything that you could ever want to know about them is available. It took me a grand total of about 5 seconds to get to the course. Right.
So how is it possible they are so stupid?
Right.
The information is available.
Right. Stupid is an interesting word, IQ, and you and I use it routinely. I also use moronic. There is a difference between knowing and understanding. People know a fair amount of things today, particularly scholars. They know a lot of stuff. They don't understand anything. The difference between knowing and understanding is exercising good judgment. I don't think it's even one in a million people that now values exercising good judgment. It's why you and I are so frustrated by what happened yesterday, that a Muslim acting like Muhammad killed Americans, and yet the American government and the American media can't make the connection. So, IQ, it comes down to this. All you have is feelings, opinions. One of the things that really bothered me the most about the reporting on this Muslim's killing, he is Muhammad. Of course, Muslims love to acknowledge the example that they're following. Of course, Muhammad was a rapist. He was a pedophile. He was a terrorist. He was a slave trader. He was the most despicable human who ever lived. And they're named after this despicable man, Muhammad. Yusuf Abdul Aziz. You know the stuff that I read about him, IQ? Oh, yeah, the people that went to high school with him. He was such a nice, outgoing young man. The imam of the local mosque said, oh, but his family was so upstanding. This is like people telling me. And I stopped doing radio guest appearances, IQ, when I had the host tell me, you know, I know a Muslim and he's such a nice person that I can't believe what you're saying about Islam is true. That's what this thing says. He was such a nice boy.
I have never heard of a murderer or somebody who committed murder or a heinous crime that later on everybody says he was such a nice person, especially a Muslim.
Yeah.
Every time, every single time he was such a... But the point is this. True, he was such a nice person, but he turned on a dime. He turned on a dime. Why? Something triggered in his brain that he is not good enough as a Muslim. That means he is not a good enough jihadi Muslim. And the true jihadi Muslim is the one who kills infidels.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's really that simple.
There's more to it than that. When people resort to evaluating religious and political doctrines based upon the personality of someone that they know casually, they're missing they're completely throwing out evidence and reason as a basis for forming a rational conclusion. And so this notion that permeates the media was such a nice person. He was outgoing, and there was no signs of him being an extremist. And you talk to some radio host, well, you know, the Muslim that lives down the street from me, they're just such nice people. I just can't believe that this religion can be so evil. Good grief.
All he has to do is listen to you. All he has to do is read Prophet of Doom. All he has
right.
to do is Google al-Rasuli.
Right.
It doesn't take more than an hour.
Right. Google al-Rasuli. Your books are available free online. Read it.
You don't charge money. I don't charge money.
Right.
You don't do it because of money. I don't do it because of money. You do it because you actually believe that you are saving life.
Yes,
and
I know it.
That's what I believe. I'm saving life by
right.
having the more people who know about the subject.
Right. Absolutely. And it's moral to expose and condemn, to be opposed to that, which is grotesquely immoral.
In fact, you always said, we are doing the most compassionate thing towards Muslims.
Of course. The primary victims of Islam are Muslims, and they're victimized by Islam in two ways, or multiple ways. One is that during their lives, they're impoverished. During their lives, they have no freedom. During their lives, they're deprived of all of the insights that knowledge and opportunity can bring. And, of course, Muslims kill more Muslims than they do non-Muslims. So the primary victims of Islam are Muslims.
Correct. But it also deprives them of every pleasure.
Yes.
But that's why they resort to violence.
Right. Particularly the women. The women have no pleasure whatsoever. And a Muslim, you know, we were talking about the common word last week, and the common word was to love God and your fellow man. And you pointed out correctly, as did, by the way, the article, that there is no concept of love anywhere in the Quran. And because of that, lack of love, there is no pleasure in life for a Muslim.
Correct. None. Especially the male Muslim. Forget about the females. The females are just like chattel.
Mm-hmm.
They are not of any value as far as Islam is concerned. But
right.
the male, they grow up, they can't have sex, whether consensual or otherwise. They can't drink wine. They can't have any intoxicant. They can't gamble. They can't dance. They can't sing. They can't have any kind of pleasure. But they will have all these pleasures, all of them, for infinity of time when they murder and massacre people who are not Muslim.
Yeah. Now, if you can believe that a religion that says you can't have any of these things because they're bad in this life, but they're going to be the reward in the next life if you die killing others, that there's something really flawed in your morality. And that's what we're trying to point out to everyone. Come to know the enemy. Muhammad Abdul Aziz kept a blog. The two posts in his blog said as follows. The first one read, to separate the inhabitants of paradise from the inhabitants of the hellfire. End quote. Was he quoting the Quran, or was he quoting extremist, radical Islamic literature when he used the term, quote, separate the inhabitants of paradise from the inhabitants of the hellfire?
This is not extremist. This is not radical. This is not militant. This is Islam. Full stop. And anyone who comes against me saying it's radical, militant, I'll slap them on the face. Wake them up.
Yeah. The Quran surahs that Muhammad recited in Mecca before being forced out of Mecca into Medina, actually being laughed out of town following the satanic verses and the wild ass ride to the non-existent temple in Jerusalem during the night, as he was laughed out of town. But prior to that, almost all of his surahs in Mecca were based upon this notion that if you agreed with him, you would be an inhabitant of paradise, and if you were critical of him, you would be an inhabitant of the hellfire. Isn't that pretty much the summation of those first 90-some-odd surahs?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so this idea of separating the inhabitants of paradise and the inhabitants of the hellfire is dominant among those first 90 surahs.
Yes,
chronologically.
People have got to understand. What he meant in that is that the Muslims are the ones who go to paradise,
right,
and the non-Muslims will end up in hell.
Right. So that's what he's doing. So he's trying to separate the inhabitants of paradise from the inhabitants of hellfire, and he's helping his God along the way to send the infidels to the hellfire. And by the way, you know what's really interesting is that when the Muslims, let's say that the Quran is right, but pretend the Quran is right, the Muslims are going to go off to paradise, and guess who's not going to be there?
Allah.
Right. And the infidels are going off to the hellfire, and guess who's going to be there?
Allah.
And so, if the Quran is right, it's us infidels that would be meeting with Allah, and the, I guess paradise indeed, to be no Allah there. But this is...
This one out 1400
years. Yeah, I know. They can't figure it out.
In 1400 years, the greatest exegetes of Islam, the greatest thinkers of Islam, never came to the conclusion.
Never figured this out. It was so obvious to me. I read it. And, of course, every characteristic that's ascribed to Allah throughout the Quran is the characteristics that we ascribe to Satan, that Yahweh ascribed to Satan. He is... Allah is modeled exactly after Satan. I mean, there's literally no difference between Allah and Satan. Now, the other thing that he wrote here, so he's doing this to so that he ends up in paradise, and so that he can hurry the infidels off to the hellfire so his God can torture them there. That's what he's citing the Quran. Then he writes this. He says, certain understanding of Islam, that Muslims have a certain understanding of Islam and keep a tunnel vision of what we think Islam is. So what he's saying is the same thing that Erdogan tells us regularly, that the Quran says regularly, that there is only one Islam.
And there is only one Islam.
Right. Only one Quran, only one Muhammad, only one collection of hadith. I mean, they're all they're categorized in a number of different books, but it's the same sources and the same exact hadith, just arranged either historically, biographically, or by topic. But one set of hadith, one set of Quran recitals, one Muhammad, one Allah. It's all the same.
And Allah and Muhammad and angel Gabriel and Satan are all the same. Muhammad.
Yes, they are the same. And the reason, by the way, that Muhammad could be the same as Satan is because he, by his own admission, was demon-possessed. And so what he says is what Satan once said because he, by his own admission, was demon-possessed. And that's the reason why the Quran is so demonic a book. It is why Muhammad's behavior was so disgusting. That's why Muhammad was a pedophile, why he was a rapist, why he was a thief, why he was a mass murderer, why he was a terrorist. These are the kinds of things that Satan celebrates.
Yeah, I would like to explain to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't what you are saying. It is exactly what the hadith tell us.
Correct.
It is exactly what the Quran tell us about Muhammad.
Correct.
You're not making this up.
No.
I'm not making this up.
No.
We have books to prove in chapter and verse.
Right.
That this is exactly what the hadith tell us about Muhammad. That he was a dissolute, debauched, disgusting, terrible human being.
Correct.
They tell us this. We don't say that.
Right. Well, they present. In fact, it was interesting that when the first Western minds got access to Ibn Ishaq's biography of Muhammad called the Sirah, and without exception, all of the scholars of the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th century all said the same thing. How is it possible that a biography this perverted, this disgusting, this reprehensible could have become the basis of a religion?
But by the way, this biography was edited.
Oh, of course. By Ibn Hisham.
They took right. out even worse characteristics.
Right. You know, and what we're left with is a man that was a pedophile, a rapist, a mass murderer, a slave trader, a thief, and an avowed liar. And that's what we're left. By the way, you know, it's. I know that that most people who might be listening to this would say, you know, you're cherry picking the worst, and you know, you can make anything look bad. The fact of the matter is that 90% of the material in the Hadith is repulsive. The primary purpose of the Hadith, the vast preponderance of Hadith, are document Muhammad's terrorist acts. And within those terrorist acts, they document detail rapes and acts of pedophilia and thievery and mass murder. This is not the periphery of Islam. This is the heart and soul of it.
This is the core, the foundation.
The basis of it is terrorism and rape and plunder and pedophilia and thievery and the enslavement of individuals.
This is so remarkable. And it is right in our face. It's available at the click of a mouse. All they have to do is look for Ibn Ishaq.
Yes.
Sirat Rasulullah, the life of Muhammad. The biography of Muhammad.
Right. By the way, in English, it's Oxford Press. You live in England today. You are a refugee, if you will, from your native country, Iraq. This was published. The Life of Muhammad is its title now, but it's the Sirah, the biography of the messenger. He was never called a prophet because there is no prophecy that he ever issued that he got right. And the Quran said he wasn't a prophet. But it's published, translated and published in English by Oxford Press.
Correct. By the way, it was authorized by the highest authorities in Al-Azhar University and Sunni Islam.
Right.
Before it was published,
right,
Alfred Guillaume had to take permission.
Right.
And he had permission from the greatest authorities on Islam.
Right.
So there is nothing perverted in there. Nothing which is not true. Not a single dot.
No. As a matter of fact, everything that's in that biography is also contained in Hishaq's Tariq, his history of Islam's formation. As a matter of fact, part of the biography is reinstated because when Tabati mentions Ishaq in one of the isnads related to a hadith and quotes it, that it can be reinstated in Ishaq's biography since Hisham pulled all the really nasty stuff out in his editing and we don't have an extant copy of Ishaq's original work. But if you read the Tariq, which was written by the first person to ever write a commentary on the Quran, Tabati, first Quran scholar, his Tabati. And he wrote a history of Islam's formation comprised of exactly the same hadith. And they say exactly the same thing, don't they?
Exactly the same. And this is, we are repeating again, the most remarkable thing about Ibn Ishaq. It was reduced. All the worst items, even worse than what was written,
right,
were taken out.
Correct. And the reason they were taken out,
after whitewashing it,
right,
it is still the most disgusting characteristics any human being can have.
Yeah,
is Muhammad.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, what it says is that that he says that there were things in there that would have gotten him killed if because they were so reprehensible.
Yeah.
That he was forced to remove them so that he wouldn't be killed.
Correct.
And what's left is so disgusting. I mean, it's so vile that to know Muhammad is to despise him.
And yet he has been for 1,400 years the purest person that was ever created.
according to someone,
Islam is,
correct,
and how perverted Muslims are.
Right. And this man who murdered these Marines, he was demonstrating Islam, following Muhammad's example, doing what the Quran dictates, all in hopes that he would send the victims to the hellfire while he would earn the opportunity to enjoy the brothel of multiple versions with Allah. And guess what?
You won't find Allah.
All you found, all that happened is a bunch of people died. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, the Marines died. They are no more. And the Muslim died. He is, by the way, in all likelihood, immortal at this point. Yeah, it was pretty. But you know, it probably is immortal. I don't know if you know this, but apart from religious teaching, if you go actually to the Torah, the prophets, the Psalms, and you consider what Yahweh said about eternity, he said that most souls will just simply cease to exist. But there are those who associate with Satan that will become immortal, forever incarcerated in Sheol. Muhammad, the killer of five Marines, then wrote, "We ask Allah." He didn't ask Yahweh. He didn't ask Shiva. He didn't ask President Obama. He asked Allah. "We ask Allah." Is there an Allah apart from Islam, IQ?
None.
No. Now, there was an Allah before the Quran. He was the biggest, oldest, and blackest stone in the rock pile known as the Kaaba, correct?
Correct.
So, Allah was one of 365 pagan rock gods in the rock pile known as the Kaaba.
Centuries before Muhammad and his Quran.
Yeah. All Muhammad did is that he filtered through a number of names for God. He started with our rock, with Lord first, and then, because that was the Babylonian name for God, the Baal, the god of Babylon. That's based on the word Lord. So he went with Lord first, and then he did Ar-Rahman, and he finally settled on Allah. But he didn't choose Allah as the name of his God until such time as he was 100 miles away up there in Yathrib, because if he's calling his God Allah and he's the big black stone in the Kaaba, you know, you'd expect some kind of a showing, wouldn't you? A little, maybe the stone would roll over. I don't know, heat up, cool down, do something, right? Yeah. So he did. But he said, "We ask Allah to give us complete understanding of the message of Islam and the strength to," and then it says S-I-C, "live by this knowledge and to know what role we need to play to establish Islam in the world." So Islam is, Islam means submission, doesn't it? Surrender, submission. Yeah, submission. So to establish what role we need to play to establish submission in the world. How many times does the Quran speak of Allah's cause?
Quite a few numbers.
Yeah, 50, 100?
At least.
Yeah. And is Allah's cause always associated with jihad?
100%.
And is jihad always associated with weapons and of lying in wait and of attacking unsuspecting individuals, cutting off their heads, that sort of thing?
Or slaughtering them like this man did. After right. all, these soldiers were ambushed.
Right.
They were unarmed.
Right.
That's exactly how Muhammad did all throughout his life. He right. never went against an armed group.
Never.
Always
yeah.
civilians.
Yeah. Yep. And he, the Quran tells Muslims to lie in wait for them and to kill them off to the last.
Yes.
So, the Quran...
To ambush them. That's
right.
the whole point.
Right.
To ambush
right.
them.
Right. And what's interesting is we talked about the inhabitants of the hellfire and what they will experience, the inhabitants of paradise. And that was the first 90 surahs of the Quran chronologically. But the last 20-some-odd surahs of the Quran that were revealed in Yathrib, in today's Medina, they are entirely different. They hardly even mention paradise. They hardly even mention hell. All they speak about is terror, jihad,
death, war,
killing.
Qatilu, 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 uktilu. I heard once, or I read once, that in the hadith, in all of the hadith, and in the Quran, the word Kital means fight, to slaughter, to butcher, something, is repeated in its all variations 33,000 times.
Hmm.
33,000 times.
All right. That is the entirety of the last 20 surahs revealed in the order of the Quran. It's surahs 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are among the last surahs revealed. And the theme of those is all singular. Fight, kill, massacre, rape, plunder.
Plunder, steal.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that is how, according to the Quran, according to Allah, according to Muhammad, Islam is to be established in the world. And by the way, there is no time ever in the Quran and Hadith that Islam is established because its merits are presented, that it is being sold on its merits. It is all, you convert and you acknowledge that, or you die. That's just it.
Always, every time, every single time.
And so, Muhammad in his hadith and his Quran said that Islam would be imposed on the world, and it would that Muslims would continue to fight and to kill until Islam was the only religion left in the world. And the means to do it are exactly as this man did it.
As ISIS is doing.
Yes.
As ISIL is doing, as Boko Haram is doing, as Hamas is doing, as Islam is doing.
It is so obvious. Makes us angry when people just don't get the obvious.
Yes.
Thank you, IQ. We'll be back with you next week.
Thank you.